सो वर्स नंबर 15 एवं ज्ञात्वा कृतं कर्म पूर्वैरपि मुमुक्षुभिः कुरु कर्मैव तस्मात्त्वम् पूर्वैः पूर्वतरं कृतम्. So he says, this is knowledge is not new. What I am telling you, Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, it's not something I just came up right now when I saw you confused. Suddenly I had this idea to teach you about the Bhagavad Gita. This knowledge is very ancient, thousands of years old. That's what they say, that this knowledge was several thousand years before Christ. It's not recent knowledge and has been proven again and again by various wise people. So this is not something new. It's not a new theory and it is not something which has not been tried and tested. Because, see, Arjuna was a skeptic. And so he always had a lot of questions. And, you know, why should I do it? It's so difficult. Can you give me an example? I don't think I can do it. So that's why Bhagavan tells him that evam jnatva, having known evam in this way, what I am telling you, jnatva again, as we said, not only intellectually knowing, but experiencing the results of this knowledge, kritam karma. So these actions were done by people who had this knowledge. They were not ignorant people. There have been many wise people in the history of our country who had this knowledge and then acted upon it. See, one is you have the knowledge, other one is you work on it. Like we all know what is right, what is wrong, what is written in the Ten Commandments and the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. But then we say, I know it. At the right time, I get angry. I don't know what happens. Something comes over me. That's what I was listening to somebody. He says, Mujhe gussa aa gaya. He says, I got angry. Anger came to me. No, anger didn't come to you. You got angry. You choose to get angry. Anger is not something that came. So here also, he says, this knowledge they had, but then they practiced this. Purvair, in the past, api, even in the past, there are other seekers, other wise people, and Bhagavan calls them mumukshubhihi. Mumukshubhihi means the one who have an intense desire for liberation. Mumukshutvam is to have an intense desire for liberation. And there are three kinds of mumukshutvam. And we'll talk about that. So he says these people who were desirous of liberation carried out actions in the same way as prescribed in the scriptures and realized the truth. They went to the guru, they studied from the teacher, they understood the truth, and then they realized it, and then they brought it into their daily activities. As we said today in the beginning, your daily life is your temple. Your daily life is your religion. So these people did that. So kuru karma eva tasmatvam. Therefore, you also should do actions. Like what? Tasmat. Therefore. See, whenever Bhagavan gives a particular topic, then at the end he says tasmat. Therefore. Having given 5, 6, 7, 8 verses, then Shri Krishna ends with that tasmat. Tasmat means therefore. So that means this topic I am finishing. This topic about my karma and my janma is divyam. So this topic is ending. So Bhagavan ends with therefore. He says, therefore, you should also do the same actions as done by the wise people. Purvai, by the wise people, purvataram kritam. In the past, these people have done these actions, by these wise people, actions have been done. So you also do it the same way. So what he's saying is, there are a lot of wise people who have done this action, you also should do it. So mumukshutvam. Now this is a very beautiful word. You know, there are four things we require: vivek, vairagya, shat sampatti, and then mumukshutvam. So mumukshutvam is the fourth one, which means intense desire for liberation, where I want to be liberated. I'm tired of this again and again coming back. Punarapi jananamam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatre shayanam. Again and again I come in my mother's womb, and then I take birth, and then I go through joys and sorrows. I want to be freed of that. So that is called liberation. So, and if liberation is not after death, while living, once you understand I am this eternal consciousness, then you are free from the cycle of birth and death, because birth and death happens to the body. I am not the body. So even if the body goes, I don't go. So that is called mumukshutvam. There are three kinds of mumukshutvam: manda, madhyama, and tivra. Manda mumukshutvam is, chalte hue bhagwan mil jayega to theek hai. You know, I'm going somewhere, and if I happen to see God in front, oh God, you are here, I shake his hand. That is manda. It's okay. If I see God, I'll recognize him. Don't tell me to, you know, spend too much time. That is manda. I want to see God, but I don't want to put any effort. Madhyama is like us. At least we are studying the Bhagavad Gita. We are coming to classes, listening to Swamiji's. But we don't have that intense desire that this is all I want. I want nothing else but God and God alone. That my purpose in this life is God alone. That we don't have. And that is what true mumukshutvam is. That no matter what happens in this life, I'm going to realize. That should be the goal of every one of us. Yes, I will do my duties as my mother and father and brother and sister, whatever jobs I have been assigned, I'll do them. But my final goal is God. And that is the tivra mumukshutvam, with people like Gurudev and, you know, Swami Shankaracharya ji, Bhagwan Shankaracharya, and Buddha and Jesus. And like Buddha was ready to give up everything, you know, to get out of this sorrow. He left his palace, his kingdom, his even wife and newborn child. So that is called tivra mumukshutvam, that I am ready to sacrifice anything. You know, we don't have to give up our family, wife and children. But while living in this world, and there are examples of Janak Maharaj, we'll talk about him, who even while living a king's life were able to achieve the highest truth by grace of their guru. So Janak, that's why Bhagavan Krishna says that, you know, Janak Maharaj, he was not an incarnation of God, he was a human being, but still he was able to achieve that highest state, and he continued to live in the palace, sleep on his bed. He had wives, and he, you know, took care of his kingdom and enjoyed all the wealth. But inside, he was completely a realized master. Why? Because Munirna Vyamoham Bhajati Guru Diksha Kshatatama. Because such a person, his ignorance is removed by his guru's teaching, and then such a person is never deluded. So he says there are examples of Janak Maharaj and many other, there were other kings also, we have heard about them, so who continued to live in the kingdom but were realized masters. So how do we do that? So he says go beyond likes and dislikes. What affects us is our, I know this is the right thing to do and I promise to do something, but I just don't like it. So I'm supposed to do a duty which is right thing, but I don't like to do it, so I don't do it. While what I like, I keep on doing. So they say, do what you dislike. Even if it is something I don't like, if it is the right thing for me and for society, I should do it. So do consciously put an effort and say, okay, I don't like this thing. Today I will do this. Why? Because it is good for me or it is good for others. So go beyond likes and dislikes. And that's how Janaka and so many other masters, great realized masters, had functioned in the world, continuing to do their duties. But for what? For loka sangraha. Lok sangraha evapi kartum arhasi. Sampashyan kartum arhasi. So if you are a realized master, and you are walking on this earth, you work for what? For loka sangraha, for benefit of others. I am here to help the world. I have already realized, that's why Gurudev, his guru even told him, you know, you can stay in the Himalayas and whoever wants to study will come, like you came. But he said, no, my people of India and then ultimately of the world need this knowledge. And so he spent the next 43 years just continuously traveling and, you know, teaching and setting up centers. That's why we are enjoying this beautiful place. It is because of Puja Gurudev's effort and his wisdom and his ideas. So such people work for loka sangraha, for the benefit of society, for the benefit of all. But for you and me, we are not yet at that stage. So why do we work? For chitta shuddhi. What is chitta shuddhi? Chitta is mind, shuddhi is purification. For purification of the mind. And how do we purify the mind? By reducing its agitation. An agitated mind is a disturbed mind. So how do I purify my mind? By remembering the Lord, by reducing likes and dislikes, removing negativities like anger, greed, jealousy, calm, growth, lobh, mad, matsari, all these negativity. As you reduce them, your mind becomes shanta, your mind becomes purer, becomes shuddha. And so you and I work for chitta shuddhi, while these masters work for loka sangraha. And guna guneshu vartante iti matvana sajjate. So wise person sees that my gunas are interacting with other gunas. My body is interacting with other bodies. My mind with other minds. My intellect. But I am not bound. So he or she becomes a witness. And whatever role he has been assigned in this play of this world, he does without getting bound. Na sajjate. Do not get bound. And people say, don't compare me with others. You know, kids always tell us, you know, don't compare me with my brother or my sister. I am me. We always say, look, you know, your sister is so much better than you are. Or your brother. I remember I had a teacher in school. We were in a boys' school. And if you had an older brother, you were doomed. Because no matter how much you do, your older brother may be a total, what do you call it, demon. But when you do anything, you know what? Your brother was so much better. And look at you. She used to always compare. You know, if your brother, he might have been the worst student, but she always says, he's so much better. So Arjuna says, don't compare me with others. Tell me what to do. See, don't say, you know, how Janaka used to do and how Ikshvaku king used to do and all. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. I don't say, you know, do this, like this one and like that one. Because then I feel, you know, inferior somehow. So you just give me simple instructions. Bhagavan, do this, don't do this. Why we have 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita and all. Ek line mein mujhe bata do. Just tell me in one line, do this, don't do this. That's it. Forget it. So Bhagavan says, it is not that simple. The knowledge of karma is so complex. That's why Bhagavan says in another place, gahano karma na gatihi. So the path of karma is not simple. It is very deep. And to understand that takes a lot of teaching. And that's why now we are starting a new section. In the fourth chapter, he has already talked about his janma and karma, why he appeared, yada yada hi dharmasya, you know, paritranaya sadhunam, all those famous shlokas he has already covered. Now he's coming to the section of karma. And next several verses, and we say, ah, no, that I like. Now, Bhagavan came and went, came and went. It's okay, I say, oh, thank you, Bhagavan, for coming. But how is it affecting me? Why? Because we are all acting. Even when I'm asleep, I'm doing some karmas. You know, my heart is beating, my lungs are breathing, and all the, you know, systems are working. Even I may be a multimillionaire, I have a big house and all kind of servants, and I just sit and do nothing. You can't sit and do nothing. You have to get up in the morning and brush your teeth, take a shower, the breakfast may be ready and made for you, but you still have to put it in the mouth. So karmas we all have to do. Bhagavan says, sharir yatra pichate na prasidyet akarmana. So without action you cannot live. So what is action and what is inaction? I will explain in the next verse. He's not talking about good and bad actions yet.